All right, turn with me over to Psalm 3, and you're not going to do this one in Sunday school, but I want to do it tonight. I have to preach to myself sometimes and remind myself of things, because sometimes, you go through trials and you're tested, and anybody toss and turn on their bed at night? Yes, amen, that's me. You know what the top 10 reasons are for a bad night's sleep? Number one is your partner snores. Now, Miss April, don't say anything, okay? All right? Amen. Your partner, I didn't say her, y'all. I was talking about me. Amen. Amen. No. If we all had my pillows, right, it'd be great. But, what keeps you from getting a good night's rest, right? Listen, there's trials in life and there's troubles. And I know some people will take drugs, right? Try anything to get a good night's rest, melatonin and other things. And Pastor Scott tells me there's this clear fluid up in Wilkesboro you can get, but I don't know if that's true or not. You can ask him about it later. David writes about the need to get a good night's rest. In fact, it's fascinating here in Psalm 3, underneath the title of the psalm, the Lord helps his troubled people. That's me. That's me. This is when David fled because his son, Absalom, wanted to be king. In fact, what's fascinating is you find that superscription, I think, 13 times in the Psalms. 13 songs David wrote, crying and calling on the Lord and expressing his dependence upon the Lord. You can read about it over in 2 Samuel chapter 15. His son Absalom, of course, rose up. Even his friends advised him, listen, man, there's no help from God. You brought this on yourself. And David reminds them in those moments that he was going to look to God for help and trust that the Lord would help him. And even in this psalm, he reminds us that the Lord has the power to smite and destroy any army formed against us. And that's encouraging to note. He had to wait on the Lord, though. That's the hard part, right? And waiting on God to make wrongs right isn't how we're generally inclined. At least I know I'm not at times. But he's patient and he waits and waits for God's blessing and God's favor. Now, sometimes, listen, you and I, we need to learn these lessons too. And we need to be reminded of, I think about it, right, in 13 songs. Right? God help me, I'm in trouble. God help me, I'm in trouble. I mean, you don't know, maybe you wrote them one night after another. I mean, just new songs about God, I need deliverance. But it just, I think it reflects and shows us that he was very patient on the Lord. So what do you do, and how do you find rest when you're troubled, when you're tried, and how can you sing songs in the night? You've heard that phrase before, right? How can we sing songs in the night? Well, what he does here in verse 1 and 2 is very interesting, and I'm always interested when it says Selah there, pause, right? Don't rush on, like you got to stop. Freeze, what's he saying here? But really, he's admitting his troubles to the Lord, okay? We typically admit it to someone else, or else we'll clam up, right? But the one we need to call on is the Lord. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me! Exclamation point. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him in God. I'm sure the devil's partly behind that too, right? He doesn't want us to call on God. He wants us to think that we are in a desperate situation. But I think David, he knew something. And it's a song he wrote at a different point in life. It wasn't when he was fleeing from Absalom. At least the superscription underneath it is not that he did that. In fact, it says it's not a psalm of David, but it's a song that I think David knew this truth. And maybe you know that. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. You should memorize that one, Psalm 46. What's fascinating, you know, of course, the circumstances that are mentioned there is the mountains falling into the sea. You know, it's an earthquake and it's so severe. Just imagine a whole mountainslide crashing into the sea, or the sea foaming. And I mean, sometimes life feels that way. And evidently David knew that truth. That's why he says, you know, God, I got to pause there. It seems like there's a huge army and it's only increasing. And of course, Absalom had done this. He built up his support over time secretly, as you know, standing in the gate and working, undermining his father. And of course, he was handsome and smooth spoken, and I guess you'd say a gifted liar, right? Because he knew how to sway the people's hearts and to please them and steal their hearts from the king. And so when that time came, I mean, he rose up and David says, man, they're saying I got no help. I got nowhere to turn. In fact, that's not the only time David would sing that out. What's fascinating here, though, is when he acknowledges that. The word for help there is an interesting word in the Hebrew. There is no help for him in God. It's an interesting word because it's the word Yeshua. Now, do you know what that is? There's a Bible, book of the Bible, that's tied to that. Joshua. And it's interesting. It's a reminder of the word, the term salvation, save, comes from that term. It's also where we get the name Jesus. Now, the devil would want you and I to think when we're going through trying times, there's no Joshua for you and me. There's no Jesus. Where is he? Why is he letting you go through this situation? Why hadn't he plucked you out of that problem? Why hasn't he delivered you out of that evil? Why? God, where are you? I mean, we can be inclined to ask that question, right? Why is God permitting you to experience this? David may have asked those questions himself. It wouldn't be surprising, singing these songs. And we know, because we know the whole full story, we understood that this was part of David's chastening, right? Because of his sins of murder, his sins of adultery, the things that he had done. God in his grace forgave David, but God in his government and allowing things to happen, this is some of the consequences of his sin that weren't, you know, washed away in that sense. He still had to go through that. And so it was a painful family problems. We know that he lost his sons Amnon, even Absalom and Adonijah. We know his daughter was raped by her stepbrother. And so a lot of experiences in his home life because of his sin. And but part of our responsibility is to cry out to God and say, God, I got a mess. Lord, they say I got no help. I got no hope. Aren't you grateful tonight? Listen, Jesus is always there. Okay? He is always there. You say, but I don't feel it. Don't go by your feelings. Amen? That's always going to get us boogered up. Don't go by your feelings. Trust, all right? He is always near and not far. Remember, he said, I'm a good shepherd. I'm not a hireling. When trouble comes and the hireling flees, that's what a hireling does, right? No, he's there. He stands fast. And that's what David does. He affirms his faith in the Lord. He remembers the promises. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. My glory, the one who lifts up my head. I mean, that's what happens when we experience trials and troubles. You know, doom, despair, and agony on me, right? It's, the head goes down. Oh, Lord, I got no help. I got no. The Lord lifts. Hey, get your countenance up. Get your eyes on the Lord tonight. Remember his promises. You look to the Lord in faith. You trust the Lord by faith. David knew when he was in danger, God was his shield. Yes, he had sinned, and he was in disgrace because of it, especially because of his son's treachery. But the amazing thing is he understood that God was the one that would lift his head. I cried to the Lord and with my voice, and I love this part, and he heard me from his holy hill. And again, Selah. Stop, pause, think about it. Remember, there's a God to look to and there's a God who hears when we call to him. Now, this is the amazing thing. What is the holy hill? Well, that's Jerusalem, right? There's no temple there yet. The tabernacle's there. The temple hasn't been built yet. Solomon hasn't done that work that God gave him to do. that David would make sure all the resources were available for his son to do that work. And David wasn't going to be the one that built the house for God, right? But God was present there in the tabernacle. David knew that. He was certain of that. And God heard him from his holy hill. Now, this is interesting to me. David's not on his throne in Jerusalem. He's fleeing for his life. But you know what? God's always on his throne. Don't forget that. David wasn't on his throne, but God's always on his. And I need to be reminded of that, and so do you. Remember, Absalom wanted to be king for a day. Yeah, right? That didn't go too well for him. And so as David fled for his life, running for his life, he knew where to look. The other thing is, you know what? The ark is there in the tabernacle. That's where the presence of the Lord is. He doesn't have the ark. How can he call on the Lord? How can he call on the priest to help him? I mean, this is the amazing thing to realize. You know what? You don't necessarily have to be in church to call on the Lord. Amen? Aren't you grateful for that? We can call on him at any point. David really understood that. I'm calling on you, Lord. I know I need you. God's not going to forsake me. God's not going to forsake us. I think of what David would write over in Psalm, I believe it is Psalm 34, of trusting in the Lord. Again, this is when he had pretended madness earlier in his life. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and they were radiant. Their faces shined. They were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. You know, he's had this experience before and realizing I've got to call on the Lord. And he's done that in his past, and that's what he's doing even now. And then, why are you calling out to him unless you expect him to do something? Right? It's faith. I cry out to him because I believe he'll answer. I believe he'll do something. I believe he's at work. So anticipate that he's going to complete what you ask him to do. That's faith. And go forward in that faith. Listen, we win, y'all. Okay? Not because of us, because of him. All right? Triumph is assured for us because of what Christ has done. And so he will deliver us through the trials. He will do that. And it's fascinating. David says, listen, you know what? Notice after he's paused and he's called on the Lord, knowing the Lord is his shield, knowing the Lord's his glory, knowing that the Lord is the one who lifts him up when he cries out and God hears, after pausing, I lay down and slept. I wrote in the margin of my Bible right there, Psalm 121. I awoke for the Lord sustained me. Now, how is it possible that David went to sleep? How is it possible when numerous, you know, enemies are rising up and they're saying, you got no help, you got no hope, you're in trouble. Well, he went to sleep because he realized God doesn't sleep. This is my hardest thing, trying to go to sleep at night. Sometimes I have to remind myself, well, God, you don't sleep, so I'm going to go ahead and grab a few winks, right? Psalm 121, I said I wrote that in the margin of a Bible. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. I mean, well, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, the one who made the heavens and the earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. No, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps you will neither slumber nor sleep. He's your keeper, the shade at your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That's what people sang when they went to worship God. That's one of the songs of the ascent. When you go and you worship, man, you and I can sing and we can celebrate. There's a God who sustains us. There's a God who protects us. There's a God who lets us get rest. And we need it. And you need to realize that tonight. Again, as David said over in Psalm 34, I've sought him. I've called to him. They've looked to him. The poor man cried out. And God delivered each one of those individuals. And the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear them. This is the thing that's interesting there when David says that that little angel of the Lord encamps around them. You know, that angel band or angel army that encamps around us, that place is called Menahem. It's the place where, do you remember when Jacob was fleeing for his life and he fell asleep, right? And he woke up and he saw the ladder. He's like, ooh, God's here. Man, praise the Lord, he is. That's where God wants to bring all of us to that point, you know. Not that we're running like Jacob, but that we come to realize he's there, right? And if you fear him, he's encamped around you. That's my heart attitude should be, and that I can trust him. And David just affirms that. Listen, I laid down and I went to sleep and I woke up. And how could I wake up? Well, because the Lord sustained me. Man, to rest your head at night, and when you wake up in the morning, the first thing, man, Lord, thank you. You've been good. You've watched over me. David says, as a result of that, I'm not going to be afraid of 10,000, thousands of people. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Why? Well, I know who keeps me all around, the angel of the Lord. He's there protecting me from the dread of violence, the dread of loss. I mean, I don't have to be afraid. I'm trusting in him because he is the one who delivers. Now, he says that again. Notice the Lord rescues the believer here. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You've broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah. Even though David had no access to the tabernacle, to the priest to call on them, he was spiritually strong enough to call on the Lord and realize where salvation came from. And so he admits that and he acknowledges it. And that's what we need to do. When you feel, listen, that you got no help, you got no hope, you don't know where to turn, look up. Okay? Our deliverer is a mighty God. I have to remind myself, the arm of the Lord is not too short that it can't save. I mean, that's what God did, right? He swept those his people out of Egypt. He delivered them with a mighty arm out of the bondage of Egypt. He swept the waters back so they could walk through on dry land. He swept those waters back over their enemy and destroyed them. That's the mighty arm of God that saved his people. Now, Jesus, listen, he stretched out his mighty arms for us. Okay? He's done this for me and for you. Well, as we said, Winston prayed for it for the whole world. Okay? That mighty arm, is it not powerful enough to save? Oh, amen. Amen. That mighty arm is the arm that delivers us. It reaches down. It saves you and me. It snatched us up. Amen. It saved us from bondage of sin. Beloved, if God's loved us that much, I mean, he's got it all. He can handle it. So let's give it to him. David, he couldn't lift his hands in battle at the moment, but he could lift his hands in praise. And that's what he does. Salvation belongs to the Lord. God, your blessing is upon your people. Now, what's fascinating is I drew a little circle here in verse 8 in my Bible where it says, your blessing is upon your people. And then I drew I looked over at the end of Psalm 2. We'll see that on Sunday. In Sunday school, you'll see that. Blessed are all those who do what? Notice the end of it. Who put their trust in him. In fact, I'm not trying to ruin the Sunday school teacher's lesson, but if they don't point this out, please help them. Psalm 1 begins with a blessing, a beatitude. Blessed is the man who does what? Doesn't listen to the world, listens to the word. Psalm 2 ends with a beatitude. Blessed are those who put their trust in you. When the world is shaking their fists at God or at you because you believe in him, put your trust in him. David said, God's blessing is not just upon me, it's upon your people. That's y'all. That's me. Praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. Let's trust in him. He's a mighty God. He can deliver us. We got nothing to be afraid of, man. I'm telling you, when God's people are aware of that, man, there's nothing that can stop us, y'all, except a lack of faith and trust in him. May that not be what we're guilty of, amen? So let's trust in him. Let's pray. Father, tonight, I know before me there are my brothers and sisters, your children, Lord, who are presently going through some trials, Lord, and some circumstances. There may be even situations where some rise up and say, there's no hope or no help for you. You might as well give up. Lord, may they not throw in the towel. God, may they choose tonight to exercise faith, to trust that you are a mighty God who can save. Father, may they choose to believe that you are the God who does the impossible. May they choose to believe tonight that you are the God who is able. May they have great faith, Lord. The trial may be part of your plan, Lord. It may be something you're allowing to refine them, to correct them, to purify them. God, help us all to embrace those moments and realize these are good purposes. They're glorious purposes. And Lord, you're shaping us more like Christ. But Lord, also give us the sustaining grace in the midst of that. And give us an optimistic outlook, Lord, because we know who we are trusting in. Lord, raise our heads tonight. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, also help us to sing this song in the night and be able to rest tonight, knowing that you're wide awake and you're aware of all that's going on in our lives. We love you tonight. We praise you. We ask all of these things in your precious and powerful name, Jesus. Amen and amen.